Well, I guess we'll be in Proverbs tonight to start, and I want to build a little foundation from last week to because it's a little bit of a part two. It's not actually, but it builds off last week and what we talked about last week, the snowball effect of blessing and also the snowball effect of cursing, but we focused on the blessing last week. We said that God promised Israel that if you'll keep the Sabbath for your fields, for your crops, and you rested the land in the seventh year, you just let the crops drop to the ground, and the poor people can come get them, but you let the land rest, and then God says, I'm going to give you 3 years of crops on the sixth year. And so you don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. And then we said, wow, that's strange. God doesn't give them 2 years. He gives them 3 years. And so they're ahead. And so because they're what the Bible calls blessed, and they trusted God, and they pleased God because they said, okay, we're going to trust God, so we're going to do it this way. And so God knows that, and he takes care of the crops. And so they're more than provided for, and now they're ahead. He said, contrary-wise, if you don't do this, Israel, if you don't do this, you will have your ground will be like brass, it says, and the sun will shine and beat down your crops, and you will struggle to eat. And so, if you can imagine from that point, the person who believed God and then their crops are swelling, they said, wow, God's good. And the next time is a lot easier to believe. The person who didn't believe God and they're, no matter how hard they work and plant, their crops are not doing well and they're struggling financially and they are planting the seventh year and still not ending up with as much and they're greatly struggling, they tend to get bitter at God and say, why did God do this to me? It's not fair, God. If there's a God in heaven, this shouldn't happen to people. I always love that. You don't do what God says. You know, it's like if there was a real policeman, I would not get arrested when I do bad things. God tells you exactly if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. And then you don't do it. Then you say, oh, why? God is mean. He just keeps his word. I mean, it's not mean if it's like saying, I hate gravity. Gravity's so evil because every time I jump off a building, I splat. Well, you jumped off the building. That's what gravity does. And so that's the rule. And so God says, that's what's going to happen. And so these people now, the person who did that, and they've got to now tithe, who did what God wanted them to do, they say, that's easy. I've got 3 years grew in 1 year. So now it snowballs. It's easier for them to obey God. The person now who is going to be blessed or cursed according to tithing, according to Leviticus and Malachi and Proverbs and everything else, he now is going to struggle to do it because he's struggling to feed himself because it snowballs. And it does that. And so we saw that principle that when you do that, God gives wisdom to the wise. The person who does the wise things with their life, God gives them more wisdom because the wisdom he gave them, they used. The person who lives foolishly now has a big mess, and they say, I need more wisdom than that guy over there. But when you were given wisdom, you didn't use it. And so God said, I don't give wisdom to foolish people. I give wisdom to wise people, because when I give you wisdom, you don't use it anyway. And so why would I give you a double portion of wisdom? I'm going to give wisdom to the person who already used it. And that's why God says in Matthew chapter 25, and verse 29, that verse many people don't understand the way the Lord works. But I say unto you, wrong chapter there, Matthew 25, and a verse, for everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And so that's the principle, is when you do the right thing, your life gets easier. You say, this person is poor, they need a better job, but they dropped out of high school. And so it's harder for them to get a good job. And this person went to college. And now they're both applying for a job. And the one who probably needs a job more is a person who can't get a job. Right? But he probably doesn't get the good job. Because things snowball in life. Things snowball in life. And they get worse and worse, or better and better. And so we talked about, if you just trust God and do what he says, it starts off with you gotta do it by faith, and you gotta struggle through it, and it gets bigger and bigger, and we get more and more blessed, and the Lord works that way. So that's a principle we started off with. I want to talk about what it is like at the end of the snowball. The Bible says, or in Proverbs chapter 10, Ecclesiastes, while you're turning there, chapter 7 and verse 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, we'll get to our text. Now, we just kind of got ourselves in the thought process of what we're talking about. Now, what do we do as a church? We find the people who've made bad decisions, we help them. We do it all the time. We feed them. We do all kinds of things for them and help them, and we have grace on them, and people make mistakes, they need help, and we do that all the time, and the Lord does that, and the Lord's gracious. But just understand, if you make the right decisions and you do what the Lord says to do and you do the right thing, you're blessed. And if you make the mistake, God's great, has grace, and that's good. He's kind, he's compassionate, and we can be kind and compassionate, lift the fallen, and somebody's made the wrong decisions and ruined their marriage and their or their family or their job or they're addicted or whatever they did, we help them. And then we start teaching them wisdom. And we start giving them help. And true help is not just a handout. It's also wisdom. It's also, let me help you along. Let's get you started here. Let's make some good decisions. Because otherwise you just continue the process. And then it doesn't do any good. They just have to go from help to help to help to help the rest of their life. So you teach them to fish, and you teach them wisdom, and you teach them how to do these things. And then they make good decisions. Then it starts snowballing for good for them. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 16. It says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. That's where they tend to end with what they do in their life. He that is in the way of life and keepeth, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. And he addeth no sorrow to it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, help us now as we look into your word and gain wisdom, Lord. These things are always true, and they're so important, Father, to the principles here. And Lord, I've made many of these mistakes and learned the hard way sometimes. Sometimes I've listened and learned the easy way. I pray tonight we would learn the easy way, and we would learn what your word says, and we'd understand these principles. I pray your spirit speak to us. Help our hearts to be tender. Help us be wise enough to listen to things that you say. And Lord, impact our lives in a great way. Help us to be honest about ourselves. Help us to look at our lives with honesty, not with dishonesty and trying to excuse things and trying to make excuses. And help us to realize if we might be where we are for a reason. And help us to realize the answer is in you, and to be honest. And Lord, if we've made mistakes, help us to come to you, a merciful God. If we're doing the right thing and we're struggling a little bit, help us to realize that in due season we'll reap. And whatever else you need to teach us, we pray you do tonight and speak to us, because we need you, Lord. And your word is spiritually discerned, so we need the Holy Spirit. So help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here, first thing I want to say is a snowball effect of blessing also comes with no regret. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. He addeth no sorrow to it. Proverbs says a lot of things about this. We'll read several. Then the Bible talks about the expectation of the wicked shall perish. You know, what's an interesting thing is when you are living for God and you're doing and making the right decision and you've rolled the snowball the right direction. Instead of rolling it back down in yourself, you're rolling it down the hill. When you begin to do that, you begin to look forward to what you have sown growing up and reaping it. I've lived on both sides of that thing. I lived in the world and planted seeds and always was hoping, looking over my shoulder, hoping that didn't come back on me and hoping I get caught at that and looking and thinking the future, man, I got some things, bad things coming and living that way. And then remembering as I started serving God and started making right decisions and started doing better things in my life. And boy, I had some things I didn't do right, but I started making some good choices and doing some better things. And just when I just began to get the blessings of those right decisions and not living with regret, but with living with looking forward to an optimism, and just starting to see it and realize, man, I've got good things coming down the pike. There's an optimism, not only because of heaven, but because the Bible says in due season, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth the spirit shall reap a life everlasting. He that soweth the flesh shall reap corruption. And to look forward, and the God has never mocked, and to look forward to that. The snowball of blessing comes with no regret. You will find that you can go have fun with sin, but sin comes with regret. The good things you get with sin come with regret. The fun you have, and you can have fun in sin, just understand that it comes with regret. It comes with a price to it. It comes with, when you're serving God, you pay an entry fee when you walk in, and then you enjoy everything there. When you serve the devil and the world, and you live for yourself, you go into the place for free and have fun, not understanding that you're racking up a bill. Do you pay later? And you have no choice on what they charge you. And so the Bible says when God blesses you, and in the Old Testament, physical blessings we certainly see are what in the New Testament are spiritual blessings. And it's and God says it maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. There's no addiction at the end. There's no unexpected pregnancies. There is no broken life. There is no addiction. There is no family falling apart. It doesn't cost what sin costs. It doesn't put you in debt in the end. It's all good in the way we say that. It shows that there's a tendency that the way you live, verse 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, and the fruit of the wicked to sin. You know, I think of people who've made millions and sometimes billions, and we'll get to that a little bit later, in the wrong way. And thinking about how the Bernie Madoffs and the others that robbed people, and boy, they lived it up. But they knew it was coming. And eventually, humiliation, eventually poverty, eventually jail. Eventually, all these things. See, when you serve God, you get blessed, but there's no hangover. There's no life's hangover. You don't regret serving God. If you've been serving the Lord very long, the only thing you end up regretting is the things you didn't do for God, and we should have done more. That's the only regret you have. I have never, in 30 years of serving God, I have never come to regret yet. Serving God, never. I've never said, I wish I wouldn't have spent my life. Never. Never been a day? Never been a week? Never been a month? All I ever do is say, man, I wish I'd have done more. It's so good serving God. And so there's no regret that comes with it. Number two, what you gain in the wrong snowball, you don't really gain. What you gain in the wrong snowball, you don't really gain. Proverbs chapter 20, I'll give you a couple examples of this. This is given a financial one, since the first verse you read was about that. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. The end thereof shall not be blessed. Proverbs 28. You may get something hastily and with sneaky methods and everything else. Proverbs 28. But it says the end thereof is not blessed. Verse 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. So it says, hey, you thought you gained a lot by getting it that way and getting it the wrong way and being evil and being sneaky, and you thought you were blessed because of that, but you weren't. In the end, it is not blessed. How many people have we seen who are rich? How many people, do you know a third of the mega lottery winners, the big ones, a third of them are bankrupt within 10 years? That's a way higher percentage of the general population. I mean, it's multiples of higher percentage. That's within 10 years. I remember following one guy, the first guy to win, I think, over $100 million. And I followed him, and he said he was a Christian. And he wasn't by his lifestyle, but he said he was. And I just remember following him, the first guy to win that big, massive thing, and watch what that did to him and his family. His only grandchild overdosed on drugs from the money he gave him. People robbed him and robbed him, and he became an alcoholic again. He wasn't an alcoholic before. And how he said in the end, as I followed him about 3 years out, he said, "I wish I'd have never won that thing." And listen, if you think that when you go out and live in sin and you live it up and live the way the world lives and you live and all that stuff, and you find that in the end you didn't really gain anything. It's like an adrenaline rush from drugs. You also crash. You find the person who takes care of themselves will have more energy in the long run. look how much energy they have for 3 days they haven't slept. Just give it a while. Give it a while. And because you don't really get away with what you thought you got away with. So many examples in the Bible. Let me take it to 1 Kings 21. Just give you illustrations of lives in the Bible of people who did this. They got away with something. They're living it up. Oh, boy, look what they got away with. Oh, nobody gets away with anything. Everybody reaps what they sow eventually. Most of the time on earth, a little once in a while up in heaven, it has to wait till eternity comes. 1 Kings 21, Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab decided he wanted Naboth's vineyard, and he became pouty and angry because Naboth said, it's my family's vineyard. I'm not going to sell it. It's a family tradition. This is our vineyard. You can have any vineyard you want, but mine, I'm not going to sell it to you. And he became very angry, and he pouted, and his wife came. And 1 Kings 21 and verse 7, it says, "And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost not thou govern the Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite." She says, "I'll get this figured out and I'll take care of it and I'll get you this thing." And so what does she do? She gets people to falsely accuse Naboth and murder him. And Ahab got the vineyard and Naboth's dead. And he's happy now. He has his vineyard that he wanted right there where he wanted it. And he's so happy to lay around in his vineyard. And he got away with it. Well, yes, Naboth's dead. And yes, he has the vineyard. But story's not done. Prophet comes along and said, "You shouldn't have done that." In verse 19, it says, "And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." And he says, "You know what? Your family's going to be cut off from being the kings of Israel. You're not getting away with this." And eventually what happened? They're killed by their own servants. Their dogs eat their bodies. And their family is cut off from being kings. Didn't get away with it. The end was terrible for them. But for a while, they were laying in the vineyard, picking grapes and smiling. Got it. We got it. And look, nothing bad happened. Be not deceived. In due season, we shall reap. So when you make the wrong snowballs, it comes back on you. I think of Gehazi, Elisha's servant. And if you go to the story there, 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman has leprosy. Naaman? Just do a blank. Yeah, Naaman. Naaman has leprosy, and he goes and he dips in the Jordan 7 times. and he said, "What should I give you?" And Elisha says, "Don't worry about it. You know, just go away and praise God." And so he goes away, and boy, the greedy Gehazi, his servant, Elisha's servant, says, "You know what? I'm going to get some of that money." And let me turn there. He goes there. It's not far away here, 2 Kings chapter 5. He goes after Naaman, who's very wealthy, and Naaman says, "What do you need? What's going on?" And he says, "Well, actually, we changed our mind, and we do want some riches from you." And he lies. And so in 2 Kings chapter 5, and verse 21, "So Gehazi followed Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lightened down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, now even there come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." That's a lot of money. That's over $400,000. And he says, these guys need it. He made up a total lie. And he says, let me give you double that. He gives him $750,000 worth of stuff. And boy, Gehazi says, that worked out good. I just ran off, and the guy was already ready to give it anyway, and he probably justified it. Well, come on, the guy got healed from leprosy. He was going to give it anyway. You can, when you want something bad enough and you covet bad enough, you'll talk yourself into it. And so he talks himself into it, and he gets all this stuff, and he says, good night. I got $750,000. That worked out great. No, it didn't. He goes back, and the prophet says, hey, I went with you. You don't know it, but God revealed everything you did. Verse 26, and he said to him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and oliveyard and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? It's a famine going on, and it's not the time for this. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave to thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper white as snow. All of a sudden, as he's getting talked to, he's saying, well, I got $750,000. You can fire me all you want. And all of a sudden, he looks at his hand, and his hand is white. And leprosy spreading all over his body. And now, no one will take your money from you. Your money is unclean. All you get to do for the rest of your life is go live outside in caves. You cannot be around anybody. You didn't get away with it. It goes out worse. See, the snowball, it looks like you make off good. Let me take you to James chapter 5. I just want to say, if you think you're going to steal, you think you're going to be robbed, you're thinking to be dishonest, you're thinking to be bad, and nobody's going to know it. The government won't catch you. The government might not. The government's not always competent. And the police might not catch you. Your parents might not catch you. But understand, the one you need to worry about is not all of them. You worry about God. And God sees everything. James talks about the rich and what they'll gain and also how they gain it. In James chapter 5, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be the witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers you have reaped down your fields, which to you is kept back by fraud, crieth. Notice there, he says, you're rich because you ripped off your laborers. You stole from them. You were a slave laborer. You gained your money in the back of those people without paying them like you should. And boy, we have that today still. And you know what? It says your money is corrupt. It's corrupted, and it's going to destroy you. It's rotten, and it's going to rot you. It says it is being kept back by fraud. Crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure upon the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as the day of slaughter, and have considered and have condemned and killed the just, and he doth resist you. It says, you know what? Howl for the misery that will come upon you. It's going to be bad for you. We could read other passages. We could read Luke 16, where the rich man Lazarus, where the Lazarus is a poor beggar, and he the dogs are licking his sores, and the rich man is living it up and won't give him even a bite of food, and then they die. And in hell, being in torment, it says he lifts up his eyes and sees Abraham in paradise, or see Abraham and sees Lazarus in paradise. And what does Abraham say to him? You live in pleasure upon the earth. You're not going to get out of there. Why? Because you think you get away with it, and you think that when you're doing the wrong thing, you understand you're planting seeds and the crops are going to come back. You're not going to like those. When you gain in the wrong snowball, you don't really gain. Number three, the snowball leaves its mark afterward. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. The snowball leaves its mark afterward. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, our parents disciplined us, and gave us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening, no discipline from God, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. By the way, isn't that true? When God is teaching you, and God is having to discipline you, and God is correcting you, it's not fun. That's pushing the snowball up the hill. That's the hard part. But it says it's worth it. It seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, there's that word, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It yields great fruit in your life afterward. That word afterward is a whole Bible study, a whole sermon. You can look it up. It's a beautiful word, and you find out what it's like afterward. That should guide your decisions. Not what feels good at the moment. Not what's fun right now. Not what is easiest. Is what is the end of the thing? Because better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And whether you're going to be optimistic or you're going to be pessimistic, whether you have hope or whether you have dread, whether you've already spent all or whether you're waiting to get blessings. And it says afterward it yieldeth peaceable. So in other words, you're suffering for a while, God's disciplining you and God's changing you and he's working on you and he's saying you got to change this and stop doing that and die to yourself and start living for things more important and quit doing that thing and give up that and boy, you're being disciplined. That's not fun. But it said afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And you're glad afterward that God got rid of those things in your life anyway. It's good. It's a blessing. And that discipline, we accept it because God's got to get us to where we need to be and change us. Notice afterward what it does. The snowball leaves its mark afterwards. Proverbs chapter 20. Let me go back to Proverbs, read some verses there. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 7 says, a just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. His children. I remember one time, just brokenhearted with somebody just making bad decision and bad decision and bad decision and bad decision. And they were really just piling it up bad, ruining their life. I mean, it was bad. I remember getting them and sitting them down and said, what are you doing? And boy, they began to make excuses. Why does he have fun? And it's my life. I can do what I want to. Blah, 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 blah. Our family had to take their kids. Because their kids were in such danger there. I said, what about your children? All you've said is I feel, I have my rights, I want to do this, I have fun at this. Yes, and you're filling your house with addicts, and your kids are scared to death, and they called me and asked me to get them. And they're scared. And you're going to be put in jail pretty soon. And what about your kids? And what about your future? But I, me. How about the next generation? It's amazing how many adults right now, they live for themselves. Oh, I want to have fun. I want this. Not thinking, what are their kids going to turn out like? What's the future of their kids? If you live with those vices, listen, your children will usually, the natural thing is your norms, your extremes become your kids' norms. You're bad. Every generation does that. Outside of revival, outside of the Holy Spirit, every generation, that's why the people always say, my music was nothing like that. I listen to a little bit of this, and that's your kids' norms. your extremes, and now your kids' extremes are things you cannot believe, and now your grandkids are saying things that have been illegal in their generation. Because the fallen nature of man makes it go downhill, and every generation changes that and goes like that. And so everybody thinks about what do I want to watch? What do I want to drink? Because we're this me generation, this me self-centered thing. How about the next generation? How about your nation? How about your children? How about your grandchildren? How about something other than just what I want and what's fun for me and thinking about those things? It says the person who does right, it snowballs, and their children are blessed after them. What a blessing that is. Proverbs chapter 14. Sometimes people think they have the right way, but they were wrong. I am seeing it right now. I'm dealing with it on a regular basis. Once pot got illegal in Washington, everybody said pot is not addictive and pot doesn't do anything. And it's harmless. Are you retarded? I've had pot in my house growing up my whole life. Watched it affect on people. Now, by the way, isn't it strange? All the studies are coming out like crazy right now. Boom, 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 boom. And they're saying, good night. We didn't realize this bad. I should have asked me. Everything those studies are coming out with, I could have told them. They're finding out how unbelievably unmotivated people are when they smoke pot. They're finding out 9% of people, it's physically addictive for them. Yes, it is. They're finding out all these bad things. They found it has more toxins in it than cigarettes. And they're finding all these things out and all these studies, and they're finding out that it is a gateway drug. Really? I've watched 500 people go through the gateway of pot. And so now it's legal here, and I'm dealing with the people now. It's escalating very quickly. 13% increase in 1 year, first year, in Washington State of pot smoking. That's people who admit it. Okay? And you're seeing that, and you're dealing with it. You're watching, and I'm just watching these people, and I'm just saying, oh, this is so heartbreaking. You think it's not, and they're sitting there going, you know what? It's nothing wrong with it. It's good. It's good for me. It helps me relax, and I'm all good. And are you employed? No, ma'am. It's no big deal. I don't need a job. Someday I'll be fine. I'm okay. Can you get out of the way of TV, man? I'm so hungry. Where's my chips? And these people are not want to have any motivation. They don't even know it. And they say, no, I know it. You can think something doesn't make it reality. I think I can drive 150 miles per hour and not crash. Doesn't mean you won't crash. Just because you think something doesn't make it real. People on drugs think they can jump off buildings and they can't fly. Just because you think something doesn't make it real. Proverbs says this very clearly in Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. What's the end of something? Proverbs 16. And verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Numbers 32, verse 23, but be sure your sin will find you out. You got footsteps coming behind you at your sin. You got footsteps coming behind you at your good. Just depends on what you want to live. Understand, what is the snowball going to do to us at the end? And one more verse, Proverbs chapter 4. I'm just saying, you know what? We all have this wonderful opportunity, this blessed opportunity to see great blessing in our life and to know that we've got bright futures because God is going to bless because we've done the right things, and it gets easier as you go along. Now I've served God and made the right choices, and I gave up some bad friends, and I gave up my drugs, and I gave up my bad habits, and I'm changing this, and now it's easier, and I got more strength and more motivation. I feel better. I've got better friends who aren't dragging me down, and now it's easier to do this thing, and now I've got this coming good because I made these right decisions, and these blessings are coming in, and now this is improved. Now my credit's better, and now I can get the thing I wanted to get, and now I've got some income, and I'm not getting fired anymore, and it just snowballs better and better and better, and then God's able to bless you, and all of a sudden the person you've been waiting for comes along in your life, and thing after thing, it snowballs. Because you've made right decisions, now God can trust you with the right kind of person in your life instead of always the wrong people, because he couldn't give you the right person. You weren't worthy of them, and you would have messed them up. Now God can give you someone better, and it's snowballing, it's doing good, or it's snowballing bad. And now I can't get a job, and now I can't do this because I did this and this. And you just got to stop at some point and realize, hey, I've got a great God in heaven, and I will reap what I sow, and I can make the right choices now. What is the end of my choices? Not what feels good today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17 says this beautifully, how good it is to make the right choices. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness, they drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. It's two different paths. One is shining more and more until a perfect day. One is trouble. The way of a transgressor is hard. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's so many verses on it. And so it'll snowball. And it's like a little snowball. It starts out small, but the bigger it gets, the more it picks up. And that's the way serving God is. And of course, in eternity, more than on earth, in eternity, it's especially true. But on earth, it's true too. So do what's right. You have that. You have the promises of God. If you'll make the right choices, it'll snowball. And you do get 3 years on the 1 year. And you say, wow, it worked. Now I have more faith, and now I can do more, and now I can help more. And it gets easier and easier. And life gets harder and harder. And by the way, if you've made the wrong choices, don't worry about it. Stop right now and start planting good crops. You planted sticker bushes. You're going to have some scratched-up ankles for a while. Okay, that's okay. Start planting good plants. Start digging up the sticker bushes. And next year, you'll have some corn and beans and Brussels sprouts and all kinds of good things. For Americans, you'll have bacon burgers and fries. But you'll get blessed in the future. Because God says, hey, it gets better and better. You make the choice. As it says in Deuteronomy, a blessing or a curse is set before you, which one you want, blessing or a curse. And so hope you'll realize you got a snowball coming. Do you want a snowball, a good one or a bad one? Do you want it rolling down toward your house as a giant boulder? Or do you want it rolling down toward your enemy? And so it's a blessing. And it gets bigger and bigger, and it's easier and easier to say. The starting off serving God's usually the toughest because you got so many things you got to change, but then it gets a little easier and a little easier. There's always battles, but it shines more and more. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray we'd understand these great principles. May we not be somebody as foolish as Gehazi, who has a blessed life and then becomes a leper. Oh, Lord, what a bad thing to make wrong choices. And what a great thing it is when someone is like Joseph, who keeps getting more and more blessed because of his right decisions. He had hard times. David had hard times. He was more and more and more blessed, and he established his kingdom for 40 years. You see, people, Lord, can go both ways, and thank you for that free will we have. I pray we make the right decision, and I pray we'd realize that we all have the opportunity to have good snowballs and to think of the end of it, Lord, because better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. May we live for the future and be optimists because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I hope you got that tonight.